everybody, this is Stephanie from Pork Therapy. I just have a quick announcement before this show begins. In the show that you're about to hear, we discuss an article about a woman who sues her employer for the right to masturbate at work. Now, after we recorded the show, we actually found out that the validity of the article that we discussed has been called into question. But we decided to release the show anyway because we thought there were some good points in there about one of the most important relationships that all of us navigate on a daily basis, and that those are work relationships. So with that, we just wanted to let you know and apologize if the article that we discussed turns out to be not real, but we do hope you enjoy the show anyway. And with that, here's Pork Therapy.
They're two crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork Therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork Therapy. Scatty-dee-bop, shabadooey. You revel in hilarity. It's Pork Therapy.
Hi.
Thanks for listening to our show.
Thank you for listening to our show. We are Pork Therapy.
That's correct.
Hey, Mike, what are you doing over there?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Why do you ask? What?
Mike, you're not supposed to be doing
what?
That at work.
What?
This
what?
Is a professional podcast.
I need to do this.
We can't have you doing that at work.
It's a medical thing.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to be discussing on tonight's show later on. We have an article about a Brazilian woman who used the government to legally get the right to masturbate at work. And
let's just leave that. Not talk more. No okay. More about it. That's the teaser for now.
Okay.
All right.
And about us, what do? We have a podcast about voluntary relationships, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
And we are heard on the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM, along with a lot of great other great liberty-oriented content. And we also have a website, porctherapy.com. You can go there to hear all of our old episodes and also
to rate them, to comment on them, to look up our bios, which are totally truthful and honest.
And you can also find links to email or call us on our website, porctherapy.com.
Yep.
Cool. So,
And you can also find links to us on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, totally.
iTunes. Yes.
Absolutely. So, we had some listener feedback from a show that we did recently, huh? Why is it that whenever we talk about genitalia, we get so much feedback? I have a feeling this episode is going to generate a lot of... I almost screwed up. I have a feeling this episode is going to generate a lot of feedback as well, because we're going to be talking about masturbation, but... Yeah.
It seems like a chain effect, too. Like, one episode gives feedback, so we talk about it again, and then that show gets feedback, so we talk about that again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of our shows are like that, but...
So this should go quick. Just a couple of feedbackies.
Sure. But I'm just saying, why is it that we talk about voluntarism, and we talk about being honest in our relationships, and we talk about nonviolent
love
communication and love,
and
nobody bats an eye, but then we talk about circumcision, and we get the most feedback we've ever gotten. Go figure. Anyway, so recently we did do a show about circumcision, and we both abhor this practice. We think it's a horrible thing to do to a kid, and Mike even made up a song about it.
Right, Mike?
He thinks it's that horrible. So listen to our episode, which we'll link in our show notes if you want to hear that. And we got some feedback, right, Mike? Do you want to...
Two of them. Actually, can you read the first?
Yeah, of course.
I want to read the second because there's one word typed in, like, parlance that I want to say.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so feedback. The first listener says, I learned that I was circumcised in junior high gym class when I saw other guys and noticed mine wasn't like theirs. I never knew I was a circumcision victim until then. I would never talk to my parents about it because I know the subject would be dismissed as unimportant and that I was being ridiculous. Now, listener, I'm sorry to hear that. That makes me kind of sad because on our show about circumcision, we actually said that we wanted to hear from people who had maybe talk to their parents about being circumcised or not being circumcised. And we actually did get one piece of email from mm-hmm. one of our listeners who said that he had talked to his mother about it, and this was a happy ending. He was not circumcised, and he thanked his mother for it and gave her a hug. Yep. And she said,
and asked why, and she said,
I didn't want to hurt you, yep. which I thought was great. And that awesome. Kind of really sums it up. It's yeah. just, that's what it does. It just hurts a baby. And to our feedback giver who said that he wouldn't feel comfortable talking to his parents about it, I'm really sorry to hear that. And it's too bad that your needs for respect of your bodily integrity were not met as a baby.
Not just his bodily integrity, but his values. Because he yeah. says, well, I'm not quite sure what he says, but I interpret it to mean if he talked about it with his parents, they would think he was being ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then his ideas or his values are not being respected.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's too bad. I like it when people have open lines of communication with people in their lives that they're in relationships with. But of course, we don't choose our parents, right?
Yeah.
It's almost as if
they're forced upon us.
Yeah. Like forced by circumstances. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Maybe we would choose to associate with friends who understand our values and our priorities and why maybe we disagree with a practice like circumcision, but you really can't choose your parents.
Right. Like right now, for a number of years now, I have chosen not to associate with most of my family or all of them for a while.
Yep.
But I can't do that when I'm an infant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even a child in most cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
So it is sad. I hope at least you have friends that you can talk about it with and.
Yeah.
And who respect your values.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, maybe you'll find meaning in reaching out to other people, expectant moms, and telling them about your experience and why you think that this is not an okay thing to do to a baby boy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks for the feedback.
Yes. So our second feedback on the same topic isn't about talking to their parents, but just some...
Genital feedback about
circumcision. So he says, we learned way back in school that the foreskin has almost 100 times...
Back in school.
He said, S-K-O-O. And this commenter has commented on how bad government school is before, so I think that's kind of what he's making fun of.
Yeah.
We learned way back in school that the foreskin has almost 100 times the amount of nerve endings per square centimeter than any other area of skin except fingertips.
Wow.
And, as another fact, or supposedly... Another alleged fact,
mm-hmm.
when men get snipped as adults, they almost always complain that sex is much less enjoyable.
Yeah, I would imagine that.
Which
I
mean, kind of, if it's true, it kind of corroborates the first fact.
Yeah, exactly. I did some research on this at one point uh-huh. because I was writing an article about it. And from what I understood, men tended to be happier with whatever status their foreskin was, whether it was circumcised or not, if they had chosen it themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. I don't doubt it, but it's interesting because I would think that most men are circumcised before they have memories.
Right. I'm just saying as an adult, if they were given the choice or whatever.
Oh, circumcised as adults.
Yeah, right.
Well, who would be circumcised as an adult but didn't choose?
Well, you know, everyone gets to a certain age and then they find out if they're not circumcised. They find out that it would be possible or they would have the option to get circumcised if they wanted to,
uh-huh.
right? Just like our feedbacker who said that he realized in the locker room that he was circumcised and other people weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So once someone gets to an age and finds out that that's an option and then says, no, you know what? I'm going to keep my foreskin. I like it the way it is. Or, well, I think I am going to get circumcised.
Okay.
They're happier with whatever choice they make. But if they're circumcised as a baby before they know that it's, you know, before they have the opportunity to consent or not to that decision, they sometimes resent it or are indifferent to it or whatever.
It sounds like a lopsided surveyor result because you can't test for the man who was not circumcised without his choice. That's just impossible.
Right.
So
exactly. Like he didn't have access to a doctor who would do it or something. Like he wanted to really bad, but yeah.
Anyway, it is just another thing to think about if you're contemplating circumcision for you or your child.
Yeah, and you know, I think there are some. I don't want to say conspiracy theories, but like there are some people who definitely think that one of the reasons circumcision came into widespread practice was like a thing to make people enjoy sex less, because there were a lot of these anti-sex memes floating around from religion and things like that. Yeah. I mean, there were people who wrote books early on in the 1900s, you know, Graham and Kellogg were one of the ones that comes to mind that you,
yes, I was reading about this. That is the Graham as in Graham crackers and the Kellogg of Kellogg cereal.
Corn flakes, yeah. I mean, they would advocate like wearing tight pajamas to bed so that you couldn't masturbate and things like that, and just crazy anti-sex, yeah, you know,
they
things.
They had some odd ideas.
Yeah, yeah, unfortunate. So, yeah, I like that comment. Thanks for the comment.
Yes.
And, yeah, it is a part of the body. You got to think that it's probably there for a reason evolutionarily, you know?
Technically, there can be, what's the word for evolution?
Vestigial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be, but...
There could.
Yeah, but probably not in the most nerve-ending area, yeah, of your body. That's probably not vestigial.
Yeah. I think there is evidence that it serves a purpose, because it does have certain... This has been studied in the subject of like HIV research and other STD research. The foreskin actually has a special composition of immune cells that are like unique to that area.
Huh.
So maybe it was made for kind of warding off germs or something like that.
Another reason that's proof that it's evolutionary is you can masturbate without lubrication.
Yes.
<That's laughs> which I only learned like a week or two ago.
That's what our last commenter
said. I'm circumcised and never thought of that before, but...
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So thanks for the
And speaking of masturbation.
Comment. Yes, speaking of masturbation, we have an article to talk about, right?
Dun, da, da, da.
So this was posted on our Facebook page, and you can go to porktherapy.com and click on our little Facebook link to get connected with that if you'd like to do that. Should we read this article?
It is, yeah, I think we should. It's
quite short.
And kind of funny.
Okay.
Well, written kind of funny.
Anna is a 36-year-old Brazilian woman who suffers from a chemical imbalance that triggers severe anxiety and hypersexuality. Anna, an accountant by day, began to have problems at work because the only way to relieve said anxiety is by masturbating a lot. Now, after winning a court battle and seeking professional medical help, Anna is allowed to masturbate and watch porn using her work computer, no less, legally. Anna wasn't always like this. She was worse. She says, I got so bad that I would masturbate up to 47 times a day. That's when I asked for help. I knew it wasn't normal. Carlos Howard, Anna's doctor, prescribes Anna with a cocktail, read an entire medicine cabinet's worth, of tranquilizers. We're not sure how that cocktail doesn't knock Anna out. Half a Claritin feels like an elephant tranquilizer to us. But thanks to Dr. Howard's concoction, Anna only has to masturbate around 18 times a day. So, a little less than Elvis Crespo.
And the article has a link to Elvis Crespo, who is a guy who was like some singer that was caught masturbating on a public plane.
Oh.
But anyway.
And then she goes on to say, of course, all this sounds absurd and hilarious to most of us, but for Anna, it's probably anything but. Last April, she had to take her employer to court in order to be allowed to masturbate during work hours. Oh, she had to.
Yeah.
Anna won. Still, imagine an office full of scandalized and perverted stares as you exit the bathroom or bend down to pick up a pencil. Awkward, very. Also, as a woman, having a bunch of men knowing you're a clinical nympho probably doesn't help deter unwanted sexual advances.
That's the end of the article, but I'll add, having media that calls you a nympho when you have a medical problem probably doesn't help either.
Good point. And of course, this is from barbara.guanabee.com. And
we'll link to it.
Yeah, okay.
So now, to comment... I think the most obvious comment that you and I will make is about this and this, which
is that she used the government.
That she had to use government force.
Yeah. So this woman, I guess, yes, there are some medical conditions that can cause hypersexuality. There's no doubt about that. I don't think many people are too sympathetic to or understand that, maybe because they haven't seen it or encountered it too much. It's pretty rare. But it's definitely true that she could have a medical condition that causes this. However, you know, she used the government. She sued her employer.
She used the government to force someone to do something they didn't want to do.
Yeah.
She doesn't, you know, it's not her job. It's her employer's job.
Right.
Or the owner. And if that person doesn't want to let her masturbate, or let's just generalize, if that person does not want to let her, you know, do her medical necessity, then... That's their choice. They might be jerks, maybe not, but that's their choice.
Yeah.
So instead, Anna went to the government and said, make them do this by threat.
Right.
In other words, the government said to the to the owner of the company, you must do something you don't want to do, or we will put you in jail.
Right.
Or shut down your business, or whatever threat was made.
Right, or order, probably they'd be ordered to pay her
fines
some amount of money or something that was more than her salary or
something. And that's sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not only could you imagine if you're in a voluntary relationship with someone, and that's an employer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your employer has a rule at work that says you can't take, you know, it has a rule at work that says, you know, you should be working when you're here, and, you know, we want you to not, we want you to take less than this amount of break time every day.
We give you, 30 minutes of break, 50 in the morning, 50 in the evening, or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is.
That's our rule.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it's like to be an accountant. It might be a little bit more unstructured job where you can kind of schedule your own time. But if it was something like a assembly line or a factory or something like that, where you really have to coordinate everyone's breaks and you can't just kind of take your own time, then it might have a little bit more impact.
Sure.
But still, I mean...
Or as an accountant, what if during tax season when you're exceptionally busy?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so... I get that probably the only way she's able to work is if she's able to masturbate at work whenever she feels anxious or, you know, to relieve this tension.
Well, as a comedic tangent, if with the drugs she's taking, she's down to only needing to masturbate 18 times a day.
Yeah.
That might kill me. I can't contemplate. No, it wouldn't. It would make me exhausted and not have much time to do anything else. It would probably take the fun out of orgasming.
Yeah.
I would think. But, and I can't even fathom doing 47 orgasms a day.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. In fact, I don't think I physically can because of period between.
Yeah.
The
refractory period.
So, but I'm getting on a tangent of my own tangent. So she's down to needing to do 18 a day. And
but that's still a lot. Like, let's say that each one takes, five minutes.
Yeah.
That's still, what, 5 times 18? That's still several hours?
That's an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's an hour and a half of
right.
You know, self-love
time. She is, right. So she's using the government to force someone to pay her for an hour and a half of masturbating.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you can really say about that.
I mean, I'm not making fun of her condition. I feel sorry for her because I couldn't handle masturbating 18 times a day. But the solution isn't to force someone to do something they don't want. Maybe talk to them. Maybe try and convince them. Maybe have them talk to you and your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if they don't want to do it, get another job. Maybe leave. It's not your job.
Yeah, I mean,
you know it's not your job because if it were your job, you'd allow yourself to masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowing you to, which means it's theirs, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's... I do feel bad for her. I feel, you know, at least she's working. At least she's not, like, taking welfare or something like that. You know, trying to claim that she's disabled because she has to do this all the time. But, you know, I just kind of wonder how it came to this. Like, did she talk to her employer and was like, look, I have this medical condition and I need this so much break time every day to be able to do this. And if I'm going to keep working here, I need to be able to have the freedom to take a 5-minute break whenever I need it. Like, did she try that approach or did she just sue the employer? I mean, I just wonder, like, how poor does the communication have to be between two people for it to become
forceful,
so escalated to the point where it's like you're using the guns of the state to get something that you want.
I don't know. I think it's probably not as amazing as you're thinking because the guns of the state are invisible.
Yeah.
The gun in the room is hard for many, many people to see.
Yeah.
And she, you know, if that's the case, if she didn't try and solve this herself first and went straight to government, which is common, she might have just been thinking that's the way things are done. That's how to fix something, not government will point a gun at my boss if he doesn't do what I say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It seems like an employer-employee relationship is a voluntary relationship, right? And when you bring the force into it, you bring the government into it, and you threaten your employer who's voluntarily hiring you, how can you possibly have a productive and good work relationship
after that? You know, I've thought the same thing before about people who sue to get their job back for wrongful firing or something. Like, you're, how can that be a good work environment when they don't want you there, and you've
forced them to hire you.
To have you there.
Yeah.
And are they going to give you the good assignments? Are they going to give you the crap jobs?
Are they going
to
give you the good desk?
Yeah. Are they going to stick you in a corner in the basement and you'll have a stapler and you'll threaten to burn the building down?
It's a little reference to Office Space.
Or is it going to be really miserable and no one's going to like talking to you, or at least it'll be strained and stressful? I mean, I don't understand what
they
the
wanted
benefit
that,
is.
That relationship to end.
Yes. And they tried voluntarily.
Mm-hmm. But you forced them to be in it.
Yeah. And that's, and you know, think of it like if it were a different relationship in your life, a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Yeah, do you want to force your
girlfriend? Yeah, they want to break up with you, so do you want to hold a gun to their head or a threat of a gun and say, you were continue dating me and having sex with me, or I'm going to put you in a cage, and if you don't want to go there, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you never do that.
No. And if you did, they wouldn't really love you.
Yeah.
I mean, that. They wouldn't be there out of their own accord.
Yeah.
They'd be a slave.
It's just weird.
Yeah. So.
So, sorry that you have this condition, Anna. I'm glad that the drugs are making you cut down to 18...
Times a day.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of curious, like, what her views are, you know? Like, did she just see this as kind of a last resort, or did she do this and think that it's, like, her right to do this at work, and did she feel entitled to it?
I don't know, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. And, I don't know. We're really sorry that you have this condition. You know, I feel bad. I hope you're able to get treatment for it, and it continues to become better and better over time. But I disagree with the right solution that she used.
If you are severe anxiety, I don't know. She has a chemical imbalance that triggers severe anxiety, so I'm just wondering how much a strained work relationship, 8 hours a day, is going to
trigger anxiety. That's a very good point, Mike. I completely agree.
Anyway, I don't think there's more to say about her, is there?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that was a shorty, but a funny.
That was a good show.
All right.
Wasn't that short?
Thank you for listening.
It's because we took a little off the tip. A little off the end.
Oh, ba-doom.
Anyway, all right, our show's over. Thanks for listening. We always
appreciate
you. We should
circumcise the show and chop off the end and just end it right here.
Okay, you want to do that?
You're the editor.
Well, you can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
If you have any questions about any kind of relationship,
yep,
like a work relationship, for example, mm-hmm, then you can also call us at area code 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for listening.
All right.
We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye. They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, 'cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more.